And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 624, continuing our fantasy previews for the 2024 season, staying in the AL East with the New York Yankees. The Bronx Bombers actually have made some noise this offseason, so that'll make things a little more interesting for the show, because it was kind of like people were, well, at least Yankees fans who are used to spending money, have been disappointed a little bit over the last couple of years, kind of unloading things. They've made a few splashes, and they still might not be done yet. That's the fun part. We'll talk about that and more. And to help me break down the Yankees, he joined me last year, joins me a lot throughout the year. He's become a good friend of mine, a good friend of the show. You can find him on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Ben Tidd, how are we doing, my friend?
Hey, Bob, doing great. I'm glad to be back on for the show. I think this was like the first time you had me back last year after that initial one. So it's cool to be on again talking about the Yankees. So thanks. Yeah.
Glad to have you back. I'm actually very happy so far. I've only contacted my AL people, but I have like all but two people having to change. So it's really cool to kind of have the same voice as things go. I'm looking forward to it. I'm crazy enough to say like 5 years from now, if I could continue that and just seeing where things kind of go and change. And, you know, because the beauty of it, like I say on every episode, kind of towards the front, is a lot of these people are fantasy minds, not all of them. But they're, more importantly, they're fans of the team. So they watch the team more, they know the team more than just, you know, every, you know, random person going through there. So it's fun to get your guys' input on each show. And that's why I have you on here to talk Yankees and have some fun. And so people also know we're using right now ADP roughly from December 1st in DCs. It's been 15 drafts. Eventually I'll start shrinking that up again as they start pumping them out more. But gives us a good enough idea of what's going on. Before we get into the players, as usual, Ben, what are your thoughts on the offseason so far with the quote-unquote splashes I mentioned?
Well, so you mentioned the splashes. I think it's ironic, though. I saw that they haven't spent any money, technically, because it's all been trades. So they still haven't made that big signing, which I was on the one time previous, it was right at the Soto trade. So I think I mentioned then that they still need another starting pitcher, and we'll cover the rotation eventually. But I think the signing will come in the form of a starting pitcher, at least, and then maybe a bullpen arm. But I know there's been rumors about Josh Hader, but I anticipate the starter being their at least the one signing that they make. So, but with the Soto trade, it was a good start to the offseason. I'm looking forward to seeing him play. And, it should be hopefully a better year than last year.
Doesn't even mention Grisham or Verdugo or anything. Look at this guy, Soto. It's only Soto. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah,
of course. I totally understand. I honestly, when I was putting the outline together, I saw Grisham on the bench. Like, oh, that's right. He was a part of that deal. Totally forgot that Trent Grisham was even involved. I think most people probably have. I think it's fair. Let's get into the players, the hitters on this one. We'll start with the big dog. Court is in session with Aaron Judge. Just absolute beast. 2 years ago, AL MVP with his monstrous 2022 season. Came back with 37 homers, 267 average, but only played 106 games with that fluky kind of toe injury that took place. It's not discouraging drafters, though, because he still has an early ADP of around 11 or 12 right now. So what are your thoughts on Judge? Are you back in for a 2022 version of Judge, or what are you expecting from him?
I am right now. So I ended up doing my overall rankings of my first pass, and he's my overall player 9, outfielder 7. So definitely an outfielder heavy first round. But with Judge, yeah, like, you don't want to spend too much time on him. It's just more about whether you trust the health, because like he kind of beat that injury bug mantra that he had, because he had the huge year in 2022. They came back with a solid year, still on a per plate appearance basis. It's just like you mentioned, the fluke injury he had in LA. But if you look at all the underlying stats, like everything's off the charts still, the barrel rate, exit velocity, like he's arguably the best hitter in baseball right now. And the one thing, I guess I can tie it in. So before we recorded, I alluded that I actually jumped into a draft recently, and I'm picking from the 13 spot as a draft champions on the NFBC, and Judge was there, and I passed over him for Jose Ramirez, and it kind of ties into the toe injury. So I'm not too concerned, because a little while ago, I think it may have been Cashman or somebody else, they came out and said that it's completely healed. He didn't have surgery, which I found kind of amazing, because it seemed like it could have been pretty serious when it happened. But, and then from just watching the games when he came back, you could tell when he was running the bases, like he was kind of favoring that right foot. I think it was the right toe. And so like he was playing through the paint to try to get them to the playoffs. I mean, ultimately it didn't work out, but it was good to see him be able to play. But because of that injury and because of the contract, he's over 30 now. I could see him getting shut down on the base pass. And when it comes to now, like, we have the Solon based debate all the time. And now that I'm in a draft, I'm trying to like plan ahead for my next few picks. And I was worried about, at least in a 15, I think in a 12, it's not, it may not be as bad, but when it comes back to me at pick 18 or whatever that is, there aren't really many steals guys there. And I didn't want to start out with maybe no steals or 10 at the most for my first two picks. Cause I wanted to go hitter. And in a 12, you might be able to get away with somebody else, like maybe Trey Turner falls. Or if you're on the turn and Judge there, like at pick 12 and 13 and a 12 teamer, okay, you have two, you can take Judge and then maybe Jose would fall. You'll know when it gets to you, but it's just enough for me to make me pause. Like, I'm going to keep him ahead of Jose because in a fab league, I might take Judge because of the higher upside, and you can always address steals on the waiver wire. But in the draft champions where you have to draft your entire team, I'd rather have the balance in that scenario. So that's the only thing I can say bad about him. Otherwise, like, he's like the new Jeter for the Yankees, and I still hope he stays healthy.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you. It's been my biggest bugaboo with Judge. I'm pretty sure I have zero Judge shares, and I've done a handful of drafts, and it's I always get to him, and I've had a lot of back of the first round like picks, and it's like you stare at him, and you're just like, yeah, I need that steal, like you said, like you need that five category insurance. Otherwise, you'd like push up Lindor super early the second round through. Now you could get lucky. You mentioned, like, I saw Vlad do it. I've seen Ryan did it actually in a draft where you got the Judge Turner combo at the back end of a 15. Okay, that's pretty sweet. That's cool. Like you said, you don't know until you're in that room if that's actually going to be feasible. That's very difficult at times. And like you look at, we talk about Judge, and he's had that one healthy season a couple of years ago, but, and last year's fluky, don't get me wrong. But you know, playing full seasons has been kind of an issue for Aaron Judge. Where you got J-Ram, he's played at least 152 games in three straight seasons. Like, that's the stability you're looking for in a DC. I know, like, we talk different formats a lot, and I get a lot of questions and DMs and stuff about, like, hey, can we get more information on this and that? In a DC, it's, you need the playing time. It's that simple. Like, it's sounds simple, but it is that simple. And if Judge plays a full season, he's close to being an Acuña again. We saw that. Like, that's legit for what he can do. He just hasn't done it consistently enough to, like, lock it in where J-Ram is. That's my two cents. And it's, I can be 100% wrong, but first round picks, you should probably be okay no matter where you go, hopefully. And J-Ram is probably the way to go. But what makes this more fun, talking Yankees, Juan Soto is going literally like a half pick according to ADP in front of Aaron Judge. They're basically the yin to each other's yang, right next to each other there in the Bronx now. And Soto's coming off a 35 homer, 12 steal, 275, 97 runs, 109. That's a pretty solid stat line for a guy that most people are highly disappointed in last year. I know he kind of turned it on late, but all in all, a good year. Now he goes to the Bronx, friendly porch and right. What's your thoughts on Soto becoming a New York Yankee?
Like I mentioned before, very excited about Juan being in pinstripes for 2024. He's a overall hitter 10 for me, so I have him and Judge back-to-back. I think I might flip-flop that and have Soto 9, Judge 10. Kind of going along with the debate we just had or the discussion. And I expect more steals from Soto. So I think he stole a decent amount of bags in September to get his total up around 15. So, and I was trying to look at like the team's totals from last year to see how the Yankees took. I thought they were a little more aggressive than they actually were. But I mean, when you have Rizzo and Stanton on the team, it's and then you account for the catcher. And then it makes sense why they don't have as many steals, because they're not as athletic as other teams, but Soto's young and he can steal, so I could see him getting that edge on Judge just from maybe being healthier and playing more, and then also having at least double the steals, if not a lot more than that. And I'm not too worried about the ground ball rate still. Like, when he hits it in the air, he hits it hard. And I remember, I think, I don't know if I was when I was on, but I remember hearing someone discuss about if you look at expected homers per park, it kind of goes down in Yankee Stadium for Soto, probably because he hits it straight away more often, and it's pretty deep out to center. In the gaps, even though you always hear about how it's good for lefties, but it depends on where you hit it in the stadium. True. And I'm not worried about that. I think he'll still rake no matter what. And he actually went ahead of Soto. I mean, Soto went ahead of Judge in the draft I'm doing right now. So, So it's interesting. It's an interesting debate, the two of them.
100%. And that's why it's a fun one. I think I've got more Soto. I have a couple shares of Soto already. Just because I think that kind of big season's coming now. Like, obviously health's a concern, but put him in the Bronx, put him in the middle of that lineup, like, he's going to score a ton of runs, could drive in. Like, there's a lot of factors that line up to be very nice for Juan Soto. Obviously, still very nice for Judge as well. But for some reason, I'm leaning Soto. So for everyone listening, probably go take Judge, be your best bet. But yeah, it should be quite fun. Let's go to the other big guy, Giancarlo Stanton. If you've seen Twitter lately, he looks svelte, as they say. But he needs to, because it's been kind of a rough go for Stanton, and a 317 ADP kind of lines into that. You look at Stanton's recent years, and it's an injury thing. Once again, 101, 110 games the last 2 years, but 139 in 2021. It's been pretty dreadful for a while. Batting average continues to drop. What's your thoughts on Stanton? Because he's becoming very, very difficult to trust in fantasy.
I was surprised when I saw the ADP, how far he dropped, because he was like a mid-100s pick last year, and it's like more than double that now. So I was surprised. I have him a little higher than I'm 278 overall. And it was rough watching him last year. You almost feel bad for him when you watch him try to run. And then not to mention, like, his swing looks all out of whack. He still has the close stance, and I think it helped him at one point, but I think it's time for him to maybe switch it up again and try to get a little more athletic and take advantage of his athleticism. Like, I saw that picture. So he definitely looks slimmer, which hopefully will help. I don't know if it's going to help his legs. I mean, it can't hurt. It's just a matter of him staying on the field, like you mentioned. But then if you dig into underlying stats, his contact rate's awful. It's probably always been that way, but it's like 67%. Not very good. When he barrels the ball, though, he still crushes it. So it's just, he's very all or nothing now. He walks at an all right clip. Doesn't really help too much for fantasy, because he's not going to really, he doesn't score runs anymore. For as much as he has gotten on base the last couple of years, he's just so slow. So it makes sense why he's dropped so much. I mean, we've mentioned it before that outfield seems kind of shallow, at least in 15 team leagues. It is a little tricky out there. And I think with Stanton, you need to have a good batting average floor if you're going to draft him, unless he's the bench piece for a shallower league. But if you're going to rely on him for plate appearances, it's going to be tough to swallow that potentially at 200 average that he'll give you most likely.
Yeah, he's sadly kind of off the board for me. We'll have to kind of see where things go, but he's one of those, you got to prove it to me moments with Giancarlo. He's getting older too. He's almost 35 now. So in baseball terms, he's getting older. It's a tough go for Giancarlo right now. Here's a player that maybe foolishly I'm buying all in on, but a lot of it's price tag. Anthony Rizzo has got an ADP around 283. He's like the 20-something first baseman off the board. He had the concussion last year. He played through it for a while, as we found out. Then he missed. Like, they could have brought him back late if they were in it, they said, but they just let him rest and stay healthy. And I'm thinking much better things to come. Let's put it that way. Probably not stating the obvious there, but I'm excited for Rizzo. I don't know. Am I mistaken in my Rizzo excitement?
No, I agree with you. I was surprised to see how far he had fallen in ADP. I have him more around close to 200, and I probably knocked that down from where I originally had him once I saw ADP. I'm like, well, I don't want to be too ahead of the market on him. And I think people are they're looking at his overall season and not remembering what happened to Rizzo, because he was on fire before he got the concussion. Like, I don't think he was going to sustain that for the entire year. Probably not. He is older, but he did nothing performance wise when healthy to make him drop this far. Of course, he may not come back 100% from the concussion. Everyone's different when it comes to those, but in terms of where he's going, I'm definitely open to drafting him there. And his projection for steamers is very good. He's the 124th ranked hitter right now, according to how I do the Z scores, and 72 runs, 24 homers, 78 RBIs. That's good at two. That's excellent at 280. Of course, we have to wait and see what the other projection systems say too, but I doubt they'll be that far off because of his track record. And I think, he has had enough good years before last year's to prove that he's still viable as a fantasy option.
Yep, 100% with you. I think there's a lot to like there, especially at the price tag. Like, why would we not give this a shot at a first base position, even that kind of drops off pretty quickly at a point. So definitely a later guy to target and add some depth, especially in DCs at the position. He could be one of those guys that pays off in a big way if he returns to even part of what Rizzo used to be. So I'm a big fan of that one. A guy I've rostered for many years now, and it's worked out more often than not, and everyone's starting to catch on, is Gleyber Torres. Big fan of Mr. Torres here, coming off a nice season where he hit 25 bombs, 13 stolen bases, 273 average, played really well for the Yankees, playing 158 games most of his career. His ADP is about 93 right now, so What's your thoughts on Gleyber Torres?
I have Gleyber in the similar range in my overall rankings. So one thing I noticed last year watching the games was he stole a good amount of bags right out of the gate, and then he kind of slowed down. I don't know why that happened. He had four in April, but I think they're all four in the first week. So he seemed like he was going to take advantage of the rules. He ended up getting caught four more times, and he only went 4 for 8 on the month, end up with 13. So I think there's potential for him to steal more than 13 bases going into this year. He had 5 in August with no caught stealing. So he has the potential. He's a solid power speed option. And I think the next guy would be DJ, but I'll mention it now with Gleyber. So I remember saying the exact same thing last year when I was on doing the preview, is whoever hits first is going to have an extra boost in value, especially now with Soto there. And according to Roster Resource, they have DJ LeMay, who we'll get to. But I don't see them leaving DJ in the leadoff spot. He's old. He's not the same hitter he was when he hit 340 or whatever it was. He's slow. So if Gleyber can bat leadoff for them, he's going to probably come in even more valuable than the 93rd overall player. And I think also the other option is Verdugo, but we'll wait to get there. But with Gleyber, he batted. So it was him, DJ, and Volpe who batted leadoff the most last year. And so I think he's a better shot of leading off than DJ for sure. It's a matter of Gleyber versus Verdugo. But if when spring training comes around and they're starting to roll out those everyday lineups, just pay attention to see where Gleyber is hitting. And I mean, if he's going to hit leadoff, he'll have more runs than RBIs. I think he still had more runs than RBIs last year by a decent amount, and he hit fourth and fifth a lot too. But he probably hit leadoff more often than not. And when he did, he produced. So yeah, I'm definitely not Gleyber at this price. And I didn't draft him in this draft, but I'll look to draft him going forward.
Yeah, if we look at Mike Curlin's MLBPlainTime.com, his deal, he doesn't think Gleyber's going to lead off, but that's also – he's got him hitting cleanup, so I'm a fan of that also. But this is Curlin we're talking about, so let's just have some fun with him on that one. But, I like Gleyber. I agree. If he leads off, even better, obviously, but because this team should score a ton of runs, and that'll be pretty nice. On the flip side, you mentioned DJ LeMahieu, who is projected to lead off for the Yankees and has an ADP of 377, first base, third base eligible. That's pretty sweet if he's going to lead off. And one thing I mentioned, and I caught Ryan by surprise earlier this offseason, you know, you see a stat line at 243, 15 homers, 2 steals, you're like, yeah, whatever. He really got it going kind of in the second half, later part of the season. 291 average in August with 5 home runs, hit 245 in September. He really got it going when he started playing regularly in the second half of the season. So what's your takes on DJ? Is there still something left from the tank that we're interested in fantasy?
I think he's more of a draft and hold pick. I wouldn't want him in redrafts because there's not that much upside. Like I was saying, he's older now, but yeah, I agree to what you're saying about how he picked it up in the second half. I think that kind of coincided with when Sean Casey was hired as a hitting coach. Sean Casey, he declined to come back. He wanted to be with his family. So I don't know if DJ will be able to maintain the gains that he seemed to have found when Sean Casey was the hitting coach. But even at one point I was adding DJ on some of my NFBC teams because he was hot and he was batting leadoff, like you said. So, I mean, if he hits leadoff, he'll have more value than I think he will have. I just don't see them from a trying to win perspective, having him hit leadoff. I don't think he's a leadoff hitter anymore, but at that ADP, that's like in the range where you're looking for at bats in a draft and hold. So, and at first and third is nice. The dual eligibility. I think he lost second base, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it's first and third only. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still good. It's still better than just having one though. So yeah, I mean, just keep your expectations low with DJ. He's not for 12 teams, probably not someone you want to target, but in 15s or even a 12-team draft and hold like a NFBC 50, I could see taking him, but just keep your expectations in check, I think.
Yeah, like looking at just the hitters in this range, like Luis Garcia, Jesus Sanchez, Yoan Moncada, Vaughn Grissom maybe has a little more appeal than he once did, but you're talking about a lot of guys that are kind of iffy, platoony type guys where if DJ plays at least 2/3 of the time with that flexibility in that lineup in a draft and hold format where you can play the biweekly rosters and everything, that's a huge piece. And that's another, like, I know we talked about the DCs we mentioned earlier. multi-position flexibility is very, very huge. That's obvious. But the later guys that actually got the playing time to go with the flexibility like a DJ, it's like even bigger, because you'll get the multi-position guys later, but you're sitting there going, really, is that even worth my time? Or DJ could be. Like, if you had DJ in a draft and hold last year and you had the ability to play him in August, he guarantee you he helped your roster out. Like, that was a tremendous boost that you were not expecting. And yes, the beauty of it, like you said, in Fab, you probably would have dropped him a million times and played that game. Where in the DC, you could have just had someone else in the lineup for 3 months, not even worried about it. Slid him in for a bit when he got cold, slid him back out. That's a beautiful situation to have for a guy like DJ LeMahieu. Alex Verdugo, who you acquired from the arch rivals somehow. That trade happened to the surprise of many, but things are changing in the world. We're all friends now, apparently. Alex Verdugo comes over from Boston. He has an ADP of, that's still DJ I got there. He has an ADP of 310, essentially, so nothing too crazy. It's been weird. Like, there's always been super, not super high, but pretty high expectations for Verdugo, and he's hit for average, but the power's really never developed, doesn't run a ton. He's just kind of a good baseball player. He feels a lot like a Benintendi, honestly. So what's your thoughts on the Alex Verdugo going to the Yankees now?
It's surprising to see him drop this much, because I think he was going pick 200 last year. And when you look at his 2022 and 2023 stat lines, he might have had a better year last year than he did in 2022 going into last draft season. So I think people just finally realized that he was getting overdrafted. I mean, his average dropped down to 264, but it's still fine in this environment. And he's definitely a much better real life player than he is for fantasy. His on base in 2021 was at least 350 both seasons, even with the shortened season, but it's kind of dropped down a little bit in the 320s. So maybe that's why they don't think he's in a bat leadoff on roster resource, but I like the trade for Verdugo, because they need more contact in that lineup with Stan and Judge and when they had Donaldson, because he struck out every time. And so I can get over the fact he was a Red Sox last year, because I think he's going to help them. I mean, like, we had Damon and Ellsbury, so I've been down that road before. Usually it doesn't end too well, too good. So hopefully Verdugo's a nice change to that. But yeah, I mean, at this price, I could see if you need maybe an average boost in a 15, but he's going to be I think he'll be a starter at that price for you in a deeper league. So you have to make sure you have power taken care of and speed by the time you pick him. So you have a nice discount, like I said, compared to previous draft seasons. It's just, if he hits leadoff though, like same thing with Gleyber, if he's hitting leadoff, I think he could be like how Nimmo was going into 2022, where he was going around pick 300, not that much power, but a leadoff hitter in a good lineup, and Nimmo returned great value that year. And I could see Verdugo doing the same thing if he sticks at the top of the lineup.
Yeah, Verdugo could somehow creep in like an 18 home run guy, hit at the top of the order, score over 100 runs. Yeah, that could be maybe somehow start running. I don't know. A lot of somehows, but yes, I agree. There is some definite appeal in that regard. Anthony Volpe. Everyone was so pumped on him last year. He made the team out of spring. All this people took chances in drafts. End of the year, 21 homers, 24 steals. Cool. Hit 209. There were a lot of times people were calling for his head to go back to AAA. Never happened. So what are we thinking with Volpe? Because even, you know, the 2020 season is keeping his draft stock up at an ADP of 130.
Yeah, so I have him at around 190 overall, so I doubt I'll be drafting him at all this year unless I change my tune on that. He's just – I know he was 22 years old, so you have to give him some slack, but it's still a hefty price to pay when he hasn't really shown he can – I mean, the speed is – the 2020 is nice, but he came with 60 runs in RBI, which is not good for that pick. And the 209 average, I mean, he didn't really make any gains throughout the year to show that he was improving in terms of, like, his contact ability and his average. And it's going to keep him at the bottom of the lineup. So one thing I've been harping on – in drafts this year for myself is to look at a lineup position. Cause I mean, it's not rocket science. Everyone talks about this, but the higher you hit up in the lineup, the more play appearances you're going to get. And so, and he hit ninth a lot last year when he was struggling, like they stuck with him, which was great. I probably hurt their season because they barely won 80, whatever. I think they won like 84 games, him batting leadoff in those times probably didn't help at all. Cause they were struggling to score runs for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, like his OPS was 666, which is not good. It's like probably below league average. I think his WRC plus was below league average, was below 100. And I mean, in terms of like the team, like as a Yankee fan, like it's great that he was able to play the entire year. Hopefully he's a lot better this year and I'm wrong and he meets his draft price, but I think it's too rich for me.
Yeah, I'm going to have zero Anthony Volpe, and I'd rather wait and get Thyro Estrada if we want to play that game for power, speed, middle infield. Like, and I know people say I'm a homer, but let's just look at facts. Just cover up both names and tell me which guy you want at ADP. I think it's pretty simple to me. But
I agree with Bubba, and I'm the Yankee fan.
Yeah, I'm like, that seems pretty simple. I'd even go Zach Geloff at other different positions, but if you just want to talk middle infield, like, let's just be real about it. I don't know if it's a combination of the Yankee bump he might be getting. Like, there's just certain factors with Volpe, but wish him the best. Still super young. Could totally prove me wrong. He could figure it out. I'm not going to doubt that. Just super young. And people should know that listen to me by now. Prove it. Like, that's just how I roll. Like, I'll be on your team next year if that's the way it works. Catchers. This is a conundrum. It was Higashioka at one point. He's in San Diego. You got Austin Wells, who came up last year, kind of a prospect. You know, overall, I think did good enough. It wasn't great, but small sample. There's, like, least expectations there. You still have Jose Trevino involved. How are you approaching catchers with the Yankees? Are you sitting back and watching, or are you going to be aggressive or at least interested in one of them?
So today I was thinking about how I was going to address Austin Wells, and I think I figured out what my stance is. So he actually – the underlying stats in his when he got called up last year were better than you would think. So his XBA was 275, his X-Slug was 566, and his X-Wob was 367, and he had a barrel rate of 13.8%. Granted, it was like 70 at-bats for Austin Wells. So it's a super small sample size, but in that sample, he was showing that he has the skills to be a good catcher, and he was a power speed threat in the minors. The only thing though is, like I said, it's a small sample, and like in my draft and hold right now, I need a catcher too still, and I don't know if I want him as my catcher too, because there's a chance he could get sent back to AAA, because they also have Ben Rice, who we'll talk about, and I know Cross and Clegg, they talked about him when they were on with you earlier in the winner. And like Trevino was the starter last year ahead of Higashioka, who they traded away in the Soto trade. So they have a starter still, even though Trevino isn't very good. He's I think he's one of the better catcher twos if you want in a draft and hold, because there's a chance that he could replace Wells if Wells struggles. I think they want to give Wells a chance though. He's not going to DH because of Stanton, but right now he's projected to be in the platoon on roster resource. But with like I mentioned, the underlying skills that he showed, and with his decent prospect pedigree, I think he could return value here at where he's going. I'm much more likely to take him in a fab league, because if he gets sent down, you just drop him. I'm not sure if I want to have him on my team in a draft and hold, and then he gets sent down with the risk of him getting sent back down. But I'm not saying like it's going to happen. I just think it's a chance.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. It's my concern with Wells. Like, I'm a Wells fan. I've taken him as a catcher three in some leagues, and then as my draft season has gone on, I've kind of backed off that stance a little bit. But you know, he's got an ADP of around 310, which if you want a catcher three, it's not bad. It probably forces you to take a four, unfortunately, if you're going that route. As Ben said, there's always a chance he gets sent down, or Rice. You almost, if you do take Wells, take Rice at the end. Just go that route. It still sucks because you're taking four catchers, and I'm trying to only take three in my drafts, but that's an angle to kind of back that situation up. I do like Wells though. I think, like you said, the small sample, he showed that he can hang, and if anything, the power is really legit, and so you can get a big time power bat if he gets to play enough. It's just that there's a big question there. Obviously, that's why his ADP is where it is compared to other catchers on the board, but definitely interesting. And I like your comment in fab, you could literally wait till the end of your draft as your catcher too, and then if worse comes to worst, drop him. Stream catchers, everyone knows my thoughts on that, so like that's a definite play as well. Couple other players that you jotted down here, and I apologize now for talking bad about Trent Grisham, but is there interest in Trent Grisham? He's basically your outfielder four, and he is a guy, I'll say this much, I'll give him credit. It's like tongue-in-cheek when you make fun of him, but the dude does have power. Like, we've seen it with him before, and he can be streaky. ADP's after 500, so what's your thoughts on Trent?
Yeah, I just want to throw him on there because, like, we were talking about Stanton and even Judge with the injury risk, so I could see at least peaks – or parts of the season where Grisham is fantasy relevant. I don't know if I want to commit in a draft and hold, but in terms of just having him on your radar, just like you forgot about him. Just so the listeners, just don't forget about Trent Grisham. Like, he could find playing time at some point in the season if there's an injury to someone in the outfield. And he has the power speed that kept him relevant heading into last year. And like his average has been bad lately. And I mean, they don't need another bad average hitter on the team, but if he can figure something out, if he gets playing time, he could be valuable.
What about Oswald Peraza? He's third base eligible, power speed in the minors. Just hasn't really got that full run in the bigs. Just at least not a full run where he's produced, let's put it that way, in the bigs. Are we still kind of interested in him?
I am for sure. I always thought he was – so going into last year, I thought – I preferred him over Volpe because I thought he was more ready because he came up in the September of 2022 and was starting in the playoffs. So I'm like, well, why wouldn't they just roll with him still? He didn't struggle really. I think he had 300 in the playoffs and – they had openings in the infield, but for whatever the reason was, they wanted to go with Volpe. And you could argue whether that was a success or not, like we already touched on. But so my comment was DJ Old next to Peraza, and I just don't trust DJ to stay healthy or to be that good anymore. So I could see Peraza taking over for DJ at some point this year, potentially. Or, I mean, he's the first guy to get plate appearances if anyone gets hurt, I think, too. So.
Yeah. And I always had him on like my watch list everywhere last year. So I'm like, okay, bring him up. Like, that's a great, you talked earlier in the show, I can get steals off the waiver wire. Like if I drafted Judge in a fab league, Peraza was like that dude I was always waiting for. If he gets called up, I want him because he's going to run and run and run. Beautiful. Never really happened, unfortunately. So maybe this year is the year. Cause like you mentioned with Grisham and with Peraza, Yankees on paper to start the year look good, but there's a lot of injury / old on that roster, and that makes it concerning. That leads me to my last guy who's starting the season on the injured list here. Just a beast. It was just sucked so much when he got hurt, and that is Jason Dominguez, who finally got the call last year. I'd say finally he got the call. He bloomed straight through everything, and he was just mashing. Hard hits everywhere, home runs. The dude was so much fun to watch. They put him right towards the top of the order. They're playing him every day. He was the future, still is the future, but he's got a little derailed for now. What's your thoughts on him? Because I look at him in every single draft because he's got an ADP of 388, which might seem rich since he's out for at least half of the season. But if you think Bryce Harper's schedule plan, it's close, maybe a little later for Dominguez, that could still be nice at 388. So what's your thoughts on Jason Dominguez?
See, I lean that it's a kind of high because I think they might play it safe with him because he is a prize prospect.
Like I have zero shares, by the way. I just want right. to. I stare at him every time. Like, I really want to take him.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I get it because he showed that he seemed like he was ready to play, and he's not even 21 yet, which is kind of incredible. So he had the surgery in September. The date is September 20th, but like we mentioned with Harper, it's a shorter recovery time for a position player. Unfortunately, he can't really DH because Stanton's there, so it's not like they can kind of hide his arm while he's healing. I don't even know which arm it was. It may have not even been a throwing arm. But, yeah, so if he was going, like, in the 500s or 600s, I'd be more willing to take a shot at him as, like, a midseason injury guy, like a replacement if case you have injuries. But, I'm, like, taking fantasy out of the picture, though. Like, he's just so talented, and hopefully they can keep Soto and have Stanton – I mean, Judge, Soto, and Dominguez in the outfield for the next few years. That'd be really nice.
That'd be pretty sweet. That would set up nice, especially with Dominguez on that rookie money. That'd be pretty sweet. Maybe call the Braves and go, hey, how do you negotiate these deals on these young guys? Can you give us some pointers so we can lock down Dominguez? We'll give him 150 right now. But, like, can we do this so he's only getting, like, 25 a year instead of the 50 a year he might get someday? Like, can we do that? That'd be fun. Because isn't Soto a free agent after this year also?
Yeah, that's the thing that I'm worried about.
Because I know he's and of course he has to say it, but he said he wants to stay there, but he also doesn't want to like negotiate till the end of the year or something like that. Am I speaking out of school on that, something along those lines? Or
no, because he's a Boris client, so he's not going to sign.
He's not going to.
Yeah, no, he's not touching a pen.
Boris, that's one thing that made more sense to me today on Twitter as we record that a lot of these free agents like Snell and Bellinger and a couple other the big names still, they're all Boris guys. Boris will drag this out till March if he wants to. Like, because he's going to literally fight everybody against everybody to get every penny out of this thing. He's in no hurry to sign. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, that's why we're still waiting. Okay, yeah, that makes a ton of sense. Thank you, Scott Boras. All right, pitcher's side of things now as we flip things in the Bronx. And we'll just start at the AL Cy Young Award winner. If that sounds good to you. He's pretty good. He is going to be old. I keep hearing that ever. He's so old. But, hey, I just turned 40. This dude's 33. He's not old, okay? He is not old. Just leave him alone. He's just been around for a while. He's played since he was 22. But back-to-back 200-plus innings. He's had 200-plus in five of the last 6 years. Cy Young winner. what all do you have to say about Gerrit Cole? If you're concerned, go for it. I understand the age concerns. I hear them, but it's also like, come on, people.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the age. With anything, it's just the decline in strikeout rate, which could be a approach change, maybe to go deeper into games, like he's trying to pitch to more contact. I mean, I don't know exactly the cause. I mean, his velocity is going down. He is getting slightly older. I'm not gonna say he's old, to not to offend you, but
no, I was just being
sarcastic. I know. I'm messing too. Yeah, so I'm second pitcher in my rankings. Steamer has him as the third projected pitcher, so they're not really thinking he's gonna not return value at that price. Everything still looks really good. Like the CR and the xFIP last year were around 3.6, which isn't the best, but that's kind of how the environment was last year. You're not going to see many low CRs, xFIPs, xERAs for starters from last year, I don't think. Yep. And like, he knows how to pitch. He's proven that he can do it for a long period of time, and it's just more about the reliability or the quote unquote safety that you're getting with Cole. Where he's going, I probably won't draft him because I don't want to target a starter that early, I don't think. Mm-hmm. It's nothing against him. He's, like I said, he's my SP2, so I think he's going to be great still. It's just how you want to draft and if you're comfortable bypassing one of those elite hitters for him. And I'm not personally, but if someone does, I can't blame them.
Yeah, I'm 100% on board with you. Like, he's my SP2 behind Strider. I have zero problem if you want to take him in round one. I've done it I did it last year in one of the DCs I won. I took him at like fifth overall. It's usually not my style, but I tried to mix it up. Worked out well. Maybe I should change it up more often. But it's just the reliability, and that's a loose term with any pitcher because every pitcher is suspect to getting an injury. Like, they're so just crazy. But the fact he's done it in 5 or 6 years and 180 plus in 6 or 6 years, we're not counting 2020, like, that's pretty dang reliable. So I'll take that kind of workhorse with ratios and whatnot all day long. The next guy, not reliable. Carlos Rodon, and this has been a thing why I've just never drafted him. Yes, he had that really good year in San Francisco. Kudos to whoever rode that one out. I just can't do it, and I'm cool being wrong again this year because Rodon came back from injury. It took forever to get back from injury. Then he got back, and it was just ugly. His ADP is 167, which keeps people optimistic. They're like, well, if he can bounce back, and he could. I could be wrong. Could be totally wrong. I'm not going to find out, though. I'll take some of the guys going around him instead of Carlos Rodon. What are your thoughts on Carlos Rodon, though?
I agree with you. I'm scared to draft him at that high. I am more like 188, which is still kind of high. It's like that SP4, SP5 range, depending on how you draft. But it's just watching him last year. When he came back from the injuries, he just struggled. Nothing was easy for him. Like, he was constantly trying to find his walk rate was almost 10%, which isn't that good for a starter. The xFIP was awful. He wasn't getting like whiffs. His CSW was 24.2. So, his swing strike was 12.5. So like, he was getting whiffs, but like, he wasn't really fooling guys. His exit velocity was pretty high. His xERA was 5.3. So when he got hit hard. So it's hard for me in fantasy to take him where he's going because I like how you mentioned previously. Like, I'd rather have a little more security at that early of a pick for my SP4 or 5. I mean, maybe on one team, switch it up and try to take a shot if you have a really good pitching rotation going into that pick. But yeah, he's not someone I'm looking to draft. Really, it's unfortunate. I hope he turns it around and like he can stay healthy going into spring training and not do anything stupid and can live up to that contract because he's getting paid a lot of money for the Yankees. And it's hard to give someone that much money after a year and a half. Like, they're asking him to do it for 5 years and he hasn't shown he can do that. So I could see this being like another Kevin Brown or Jarrett Wright or all those awful signings of years past, but I hope not.
Yeah. This is one of those where I fought my Giants friends that wanted to pay him and bring him back that year. I was like, no, don't do it. And so far so good. He still has time to prove me wrong, but so far so good. And it's just like where he's going. Mitch Keller's going right before him, Bailey Ober right behind him, Barrios, even Christian Javier, who at least finished kind of strong, but I'm not on him. But Chris Sale, Nick Pivetta. There's question marks everywhere, of course, but I think we at least saw health out of most of those guys last year. Not all of them, but most, which is all I care about. Now, like you said with Aaron Judge, like a Carlos Rodon, if I am going to draft him, it probably would be more so in a fab league because I could just be like, you know what, see ya, gone. I'm just dropping you, call it good, move on. That draft and hold, like that fourth or fifth starter is more reliable than you think. So you are more important than you think. So you kind of need that stability for sure.
I will say with Rodon in a 12 teamer, like I think we'll do a Yahoo show at some point. And like in a Yahoo 12 teamer, I would take him all day because of the replacement value.
Well, and you get IL.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's super price of one. Yeah. So it's like in a deep NFBC, like I play now more often than not, it's just, there's too much risk at that price, but yeah, like a CBS or like a points league or something where you have IL spots, it's a completely different story. And I think he's worth the risk, not every time you draft, but every once in a while.
Yeah, totally agree with you on that one. Let's talk nasty Nestor Cortez. He had an injury-riddled season as well, only threw 63 innings, made 12 starts. After back-to-back pretty good campaigns, really good campaigns in the Yankees rotation, he's supposed to be healthy, looks to be back. You've seen him at Dolphins games, having fun. ADP of 272 is kind of enticing, unless I'm missing something here. What are your thoughts on Nestor Cortez maybe bouncing back this year?
Yeah, so I'm trying to look at this. So he was okay before he got injured. You always wonder how much the injury plays into the performance. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't come back. I think it was his shoulder at least once. Yep. I'm not sure if it was the same thing both times. But, yeah, I would have liked a little bit more of a discount because he was going around this after that first – around this range after that first half season where he kind of came out of nowhere. And then he moved up to, like – pick 100 last year. So it's a discount for sure compared to last year, but I would have preferred to see him pass 300 just because he doesn't like the strikeout stuff of other starters, but it is like with the way pitching is, I get why he's probably going in this range. Like in the draft I'm in now, I might have to make that decision in a little while if I want to take him or not. And I probably will be in, it's just the shoulder is scary. And he's like Rodon. He wasn't really anything for a long time. Then he had this short stretch of being really good, and now he's hurt. So it's unfortunate they're on the same team now that I think about it like that. But I hope he comes back because he's fun to watch. It's just the shoulder just makes me uneasy.
Yeah, it's a tough one. That's what's at least there's optimism with the Yankees if you're a fan because the rotation's strong. It's just like, can these guys bounce back from injuries? Like if Rodon and Nestor come back to being even like 75% of what they once were, that makes this team just like you don't need aces with that offense. Like you just need guys that can throw 5-6 innings, like quality starts, 6 innings and 3 runs, like whatever. Just go out there and get it to the bullpen, which is pretty good, and we'll go from there. So if Nestor can get back to that world, that's promising. I know this is more fantasy talk, but that as a Yankees fan, that's my 2 cents. I say that's a win. That leads me to Clark Schmidt, who I'm a big fan of, but it was a weird season for Clark. I don't know if he was kind of getting tired or what it was, but his middle of the season, very, very good. Last couple of months, not good at all. Walks were up and down. Strikeouts were up and down. But you look at a guy who made 32 starts, almost 160 innings, and he's got an ADP of 354. So what are your thoughts on Clark Schmidt going into 2024?
I might actually prefer him to Nestor just because of the discount in draft price, but he was just like, Schmidt was kind of meh last year. He doesn't have like a great strikeout rate, swing strike rate. The underlying ERA estimators weren't the best. They're all around like 4.3. If you look at CRX, FIP, and XERA, I wonder if a lot of the hype came because when he was in the bullpen and like to your point, he very well could have tired out after that strong stretch. And I mean, but that could be in his favor because like now he may be more built up. He may not face that rough patch going into 2024, but I think at that price, it's worth a shot.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. So I'll play back on Clark Schmidt bandwagon. That's for sure. Still waiting on the fifth starter in there. Obviously there's moving parts, but there are rumors that they'll bring someone in. So let's head to the bullpen here. Clay Holmes, you look at Clay Holmes, I'm a Clay Holmes fan because he has an AP of 128 right behind Kenley Jansen, right behind Ray Campbell. I understand it's like Holmes had it up to now, but in the end, he still gets saves, is what we're looking for. And, poor saves before Rich are still not bad. What are your thoughts on Clay Holmes? Boy, I read it. It's his job.
Yeah, so last year I was a little hesitant to draft Holmes where he was going because I didn't trust him as a pitcher. He had bouts of wildness in 2022. He was in and out of the role, but they basically stuck with him last year. He still didn't have – like he didn't hit 30 saves, which you kind of want in that range. He ended with 24, but they've lost some bullpen arms. King's now a starter on the Padres. He was getting saves last year. So I actually just took Clay Holmes in the draft champions I'm in right now as my RP2. I kind of double tap closers. And I think he's kind of shown that he can stick in the role. And yeah, they have a good bullpen still. It's not as good as it used to be. I mean, I hope they don't draft Hader now that I just drafted Holmes. I hope they don't sign Hader that I drafted Holmes. But yeah, like Loaizaga, who we might talk about in a little bit, he's battled injury and ineffectiveness. He's not really getting strike. He wasn't getting strikeouts last year. They have Canley back, but he's hit or miss sometimes. They have Ian Hamilton, who we'll talk about too. But I think Holmes is pretty safe for now, as long as they don't sign anybody. I like him where he's going.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, they might sign someone, but even when they brought in guys to kind of combat Holmes or help Holmes, he still got like 2/3 of the share, it felt like. And when he got right, they put him back into the role type thing. So just that kind of trust with Boone makes me feel like, why wouldn't they keep going that route? So I'm still taking, like, if you're waiting late on a reliever two, or if you want to get real aggressive in a draft and hole and get your reliever three early so you don't have to worry about, you know, fishing later on as much, like, it's an option. I'm not saying it's the way to go. It's an option, though. You mentioned these guys, so I'll just group them together and let you kind of go with them as you wish. You mentioned, I call him Johnny Lasagna, Jonathan Loaisiga, Tommy Canley, you got Ian Hamilton, Scott Efros. They brought Cody Morrison for a trade, he's a guy I've actually drafted in like the last two rounds of drafts because I liked him in Cleveland. And if they do need backup in that rotation, I think there's something there. So what are you thinking of this handful of potential Yankees pitchers? Is there any interest in these guys?
So I think right now Loaizaga is the handcuff, if you want to consider there to be one. His ADP is very late. I was surprised to see it. It's 728 on the ADP that I have. Mm-hmm. So usually handcuff for setup men go a lot higher than that. So I guess people aren't expecting him to be the first in line. Canley, he's another option too. If Loaizaga isn't effective, like I mentioned before, Canley came back from injury last year and he pitched pretty well. So he seems to be back, but I don't think he has he's a fastball change guy. I don't think you really want that as a closer. Hamilton. So he was someone I was mixing and matching with on Fabulous with, Michael King last year. Hamilton is great in a deep league because he can go 2-3 innings and he gets strikeouts and he's pretty good. Like he has pretty good ratios. So if you're looking in a draft and hold for us, if the starters are kind of meh and you just want a pitcher, I would consider Ian Hamilton. He's really good. Efros, I put him here because when he got – so he was traded for, I think, in 2022. And they were talking that he could have replaced Holmes when Holmes was struggling. So he could vault ahead of these guys if something happens to Holmes. So he could be an option too. And, yeah, like you mentioned, Cody Morris, he's – I think when I was on when he – was part of that trade with Florial. They sent Florial to the Guardians and it was some other guys. But if he ends up starting, it could be pretty valuable. But like I alluded to on that show, I he's kind of more of a reliever now. But if he could be like a Hamilton, that could be valuable as well. So just look at his usage in spring training, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's definitely something to make work. I guess that's why I'm taking darts on him late, just if something were to happen. He's kind of a longer – like, I love Loaisiga. I had in a ton of places last year as a late pick just for the reasons you mentioned. Tommy Canley is an interest of mine. I had Michael King actually in a lot of leagues, so I'm pretty pumped on that because I had him as, like, the heir to Holmes, and it turned out to be something better. So that's the fun I like about drafting holds late. You know, we did a show with Bloomfield. I've had other guys on the bench with Bubba talking about late draft and hold stuff, and I like taking a lot of reliever chances. And those sometimes pay off, sometimes they don't, but we'll see what happens there. Let's talk prospects. We'll start with Ben Rice. You mentioned him. Do you have anything else to add to Ben Rice, or are you kind of good on that one?
I wouldn't be too aggressive because, like I wrote on the outline, he's only been into Double A, which doesn't mean that he can't get called up if he's maybe in Triple A to start the season and he does really well. But he actually has some speed too, so he's an intriguing power speed catcher, kind of like Wells, ironically. And yeah, so I trust whatever Eric Cross and Chris Clegg said about him. So listen to that if you want more.
You have Jorbeet Vivas, second base, third base guy. What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, so he came over. So I think once the Dodgers signed Otani, they had to make a move to clear space on the 40-man, and this was the trade they made with the Yankees, I think. And he's a second base, third base prospect. I never heard of him until I was looking at the depth chart. Decent power and some speed. So like I was alluding to before with like DJ and – maybe they trade Gleyber if they struggle, and then he gets and then Vivas gets called up. But he has good minor league numbers, so there's someone to keep your eye on. I don't know if I would take him in a draft and hold, but if he gets called up midseason, then I would try to hopefully you recognize the name and can maybe add him.
For sure. Will Warren is definitely a name I remember the boys talking about. It was Drew Thorpe and Will Warren. Drew Thorpe is now in San Diego. So what's your thoughts on Will Warren? Is he worth a shot in drafts? I know he actually does have an ADP. I can give you that real quick. His ADP is 508. So people are actually pretty aggressive if you think about it for a guy that's not up just yet.
Yeah, that is pretty aggressive. It's probably because they have Clayton Beater as the fifth starter right now in roster resource.
Yeah, so that's probably exactly right. Yeah.
They're taking some stabs with the young better guys. So yeah, so the one thing that kind of has me liking the guy I have second on the list in terms of pitchers is Warren's high whip. So he has a 1.28 in his minors career, which, I mean, you can only imagine it's probably going to go up a little bit if you go to the majors. He has like a walk. It's primarily walks because last year in AAA he had 100 innings and 47 walks, so that's not very good. But he has good strike. He has decent strikeout stuff. And I remember reading about him in like an article from MLB.com. And so I remember that name. And if Cross and Clegg have him on their radar, so I'm sure he probably has some decent pedigree. But yeah, I might like the next guy a little bit more.
And the next guy you're mentioning is Chase Hampton, who has an ADP of 734. So that's definitely an end game target if you want to take the chances there. Why do you like Hampton a little more? As you have written down, he's only got up to double A, which obviously doesn't mean anything after last season. So just throwing that out there.
Right. Yeah. So, and just to add to this, so Warren is the Yankees' sixth overall prospect and Hampton is the fifth. So Hampton is a little bit higher in terms of prospect people's eyes. And the one thing, so going back to the whip, so Hampton's whip for his career in the minors is 1.14. So it's a lot better than Warren's. And he has better strikeout stuff, it seems like. So where is it? Actually, no, it's only been 1 year. So last year was his first year in the minors. He had 145 strikeouts and 106 innings. So that's a pretty good workload and a pretty good strikeout rate. And that's across high A and double A. And a little bit more of that work was in double A. A little elevated ERA once he went up, but I like the strikeout stuff was still there. The whip wasn't terrible. It was 1.26. So I could see either of these guys getting called up if they don't by any chance to sign a starter or if someone gets hurt. Like we touched on with Nestor and Rodon having injury risk as it is. So I could see Warren or Hampton getting called up at some point.
Yeah, I think those are fun, especially with Hampton. It's a late pick. Basically, those are the kind of chances I like to take, the late picks. So like we talked to Warren just for fun for people out there. I mentioned the 500 ADP essentially. You know, he's got Jason Foley could be a saves guy in Detroit. Griffin Jacks, saves guy in Minnesota. Nick Anderson, saves guy in Kansas City. After that, you know, Kopech, do what you wish. It's honestly not a bad price if you want to gamble on Kopech, but I probably won't. You got Pyamps. If Devin Williams moves, there's your saves. A lot of relievers here. So, yeah, guys that are already pitching in the bigs that might get the run, and then you got Warren in the middle of all that. So that's interesting compared to Hampton, who it's like Lois Siga's right in front of him, River Ryan, Tommy Henry, Ben Lively, like a bunch of dudes that are much different, as I should say, when you're doing your drafting. So fun stuff. Yankees look to be in for a fun season for you. What's the temperature? I was going to say optimism, but it could be pessimism. What's the temperature there after missing the playoffs last year? So the Orioles won 100. Rays are always the Rays. Red Sox, we'll see. You got a very, very, very good division. So what's your thoughts here?
Yeah, so it's going to be really dependent on who they sign for that fifth starter spot because, I mean, I don't think they'll sign Snell, but if they get Jordan Montgomery, I think that he puts them in a really good spot to be up there with the Rays. I mean, the Rays took a step back with their rotation, so they shouldn't be as good anymore. I mean, they are the Rays, though, so who knows? Like, they could turn these guys into gold like they always do. I think the Red Sox will be sneaky good because, like, everyone likes their lineup for fantasy. Like, I do personally, too, and the rotation isn't that bad. Like, there are a lot of question marks, kind of like the Yankees do, but they'll be tough. I like the Yankees' chances with all that said. I just hope Soto stays and everyone says, like, it's always the health with the Yankees because, like, Stan's old, Rizzo's old, LeMahieu's old. Judge is injury prone. It's just like it could go south. It's very possible to go south this season, but I mean, they do have high expectations as always. And I'm with all that said, though, I'm still pretty optimistic with after the Soto trade and the Verdugo trade. Those are pretty big acquisitions, and it's what they needed. So I'm excited for the season to start for sure.
what other moves do you think they do? Like you joked about Hader, always a possibility, but yeah. I still think he goes somewhere else. I think it's more a starting pitcher. Could be totally wrong. Yeah. Where do you see they go? They might go. What do you hope they do?
I think the lineup is set. So it's just that last that fifth spot, which could end up being like an SP2 or 3, and everyone else slides down. But yeah, I don't know what the payroll is right now, but I could see them getting another reliever. I know there's a lot of people still out there. Like, we're all waiting for everyone to sign, it feels like. So maybe two more pitchers, one starter, one reliever, I would say.
Yeah, well, that'll be fun. Can't wait to see where it goes. It's just around the corner. We already got less than it's like 50 days or so to spring training. God, so close. Can't wait. It's going to be glorious. Why don't you remind everybody where they can find you, Mr. Ben, before we head on out of here?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. If you listen to the Blue Jays preview, Joe Arrico was on, and he mentioned that I'll be trying some writing this year for Sports Ethos. So be on the lookout for that. I'll be tweeting about that when I get started up. Right now, the plan is to do an NFBC-related pitching article in the season, but I might get a head start with some other work before the season starts. So, yeah, be on the lookout for that, and hopefully I'll be back on soon.
You will be. You know that. You're on the speed dial, so I'm looking forward to that, and always a pleasure chatting with you when I can. A little different than our normal shows of late, but it's good to talk Yankees and get the team previews running. People enjoyed these last year, so looking forward to pumping them out again. So make sure you guys all follow Ben on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Until next time, this was Benched with Bubba, episode 624, your 2024 New York Yankees team preview. Catch you all next time.